everybody. Welcome to the Yacht Racing Podcast with me, your host, Justin Chisholm. For this, our first ever episode, I travel to New York to talk to French multi-hull skipper Thomas Cavill. Why did I go all that way to speak to him? Well, because Cavill is rapidly becoming a living legend in the sport of ocean racing. On Christmas Day 2016, he arrived back into his home port of Brest in France at the end of a solo, non-stop lap of the planet in under 50 days. ...49 days, 3 hours, and 7 minutes to be precise. That's a little under 8.5 days quicker than the previous record set by a fellow Frenchman, Francis Joyon. That's right, more than a week quicker. His average speed aboard his 105-foot Sodebo Ultim trimaran for that 27,000-mile course was 23 knots. Solo. So, that's why I was there to talk to him. He was there because he just completed a fully crewed race across the Atlantic called the Bridge. It was an unusual event commemorating the entry of the American troops in the First World War 100 years ago. Now, the race pitched 4 monster-sized trimarans against each other and the Queen Mary II luxury liner in a race from France to New York. I know, only the French, right? We talked about a lot of things during our conversation, but I was particularly interested to find out more about the growth of the Ultim class, which has lured the likes of Francois Gabart, Armel Lecléache, and Sebastian Joss, and their sponsors, out of the Imoca 60 and Vendée Globe scene, and into the mind-blowing world of single-handed ocean-going trimarans. Towards the end of the interview, you're going to hear him mention that he's going to try and beat the North Atlantic crossing record. Well, he did beat it, of course. That's what he does, breaks records. Actually, he smashed this one too. He made the crossing from New York to the Lizard off the southwest tip of England in 4 days and 11 hours, more than half a day faster than the record. 4.5 days, less than a working week, solo across the Atlantic. Anyway, thanks again for listening. Here's the interview. I hope you enjoy it. Thomas, it was a year ago that we sat here after the Transat race when you'd raced single-handedly across the Atlantic into New York. And we didn't talk a lot about that race, but we talked a lot about the concept of these Ultim trimarans, these amazing boats, and where it might come to. And then you gave me a sniff of this race called the Bridge, which I hadn't even heard of at that point. And here we are at the finish of that event. So let's start with just tell us a bit about the Bridge and how that played out, because it looks like it was pretty spectacular.
Yeah, it was indeed. And I agree with you, a year ago, everything I was telling you was nearly not a dream, but it was very far from what we did. And in fact, with Damien Grimaud, the organizer, we succeeded to make the mixed in between making a new kind of event with a very popular kind of attraction, like basketball in Nantes, with the world competition three against three. Which was really, really nice show and very close to the boats in Nantes, in the city. And we had also a very spectacular start in Saint-Nazaire with the Queen Mary II and the old teams. And I think it was very popular in France, but pretty much everywhere. And we wanted something with a new symbol and to show the world, as I told you, that those kind of boats, the old teams, is going to make the offshore sailing in another class, in another kind of imagination. And we're going to push that concept forward and make it running even stronger, I would say. We need to be in contact with some other sportsmen, like basketball was very great, right. But we will probably do one day maybe with baseball, why not, or yeah. football, or soccer.
Or rugby.
Yeah. And it will match, you know, if we do the same and go in with the Kiwi or with the Irish, with the rugby, mm-hmm. Or with the soccer, with some Spanish or Italian, and one day, in America, with some very popular kind of a game in here, with baseball. I will say, we will connect people, and the world today is all about connection and making bridge between people and different kind of a. And I think it was the concept of that new kind of a race. So sometimes it's too much. Yeah. I agree with you, and with Damien, it's hard to make it wow. We're going to be concentrated on one point, and he want to make everything. But
I think he's pulled it off, though, eh?
Yeah, and he done a very good job, and great job. And once again, we just, I think, pushed the offshore sailing and the concept of offshore sailing in another world, in another concept, in another way of thinking. And it's all based about speed and about reduction of time between two points. Once again, France is 7 or 9 days from New York, and we are pretty much the same timing for Rio, mm-hmm. or we can go to Cape Town, or we can, in 3 weeks, we can be in Asia, or I've done the around the world trip this year in less than 50 days by myself. But
I think this is very exciting, this creation of a new model for offshore sailing.
And it's our job today to think about a new model and a new concept and new ideas. And it's all also, for me, about connecting different kind of people.
Do you get the sense that this is bringing in non-sailing fans to the sport?
Sailing, and especially offshore, is really in between exploration, adventure, outdoor.
Extreme sports, right?
Extreme sport, yeah. But outdoor.
Yeah.
For me, Alex Honnold is my just...
I don't know who that is.
This guy is an American climber.
Okay.
Alex is... he's done El Capitan solo, and he succeeded. Unbelievable.
This is not the guy who free climbed the...
Yeah.
Oh my
yeah.
God, I do know who that is. Yeah, 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 yeah. yeah. He's amazing.
This guy is amazing. Yeah. But it's, for me, the guy who inspired me. It's this kind of guy.
So could you imagine a scenario where you would give him a call and say, I really admire what you did climbing there. I want you to come and see my boat.
Yeah, it's what we do already in France. And we've done it with some guys, like, you know, the guy who was doing some... he's running and he's done the Everest by himself.
Oh, wow,
by
yeah.
running. He's a Spanish guy.
Okay.
And once again, it's a guy who inspired me a lot. So it's totally different kind of a thinking about what was climbing before,
yeah.
what was mountain climbing before, and we all mentally connect to the same thing. Sailing is in between outdoor and sports mechanic. So it's more car driving, it's motorbike driving, it's more about F1 or endurance and I'm sure that one day we will connect all those worlds.
Yeah.
And I'm very connected. Just few days before we leave France, it was the end of this famous race in Le Mans,
yeah.
24 hours, and I was there with Alpine and Toyota. I'm working in that way. To connect some kind of different
yeah.
sport and people and passionate people.
Because it's almost a club of extraordinary sportsmen, isn't it, you're talking about?
I agree, but it's also where normal people just get inspiration.
Yeah, absolutely.
Yeah, you know, it's why sports have a role
yeah.
in the our society. We need to inspire people. We need to help people to be inspired. We need to help people having hope. This winter, when I arrived in France, after that trip around the world, I realized that people were very happy for themselves,
yeah.
that I succeed.
Absolutely.
You know what I mean?
Absolutely.
That means that because I succeed, they also they can succeed to something else or to somewhere else.
And it's why
sportsmen should be we've got like politicians have a rules or role,
yeah,
or a position,
yeah.
Philosophic guys have got a position, and they are, and all about it. Offshore sailing, it's really a position I'd like to push.
Yeah, I think it's right, and I think you're absolutely right about being able to inspire people in their normal lives who because everybody is going through something, everybody is battling against something.
Yeah.
And I think you're right. I think sport and particularly extreme outdoor sports can do that. So I love the idea of you harnessing this and drawing these disparate sports together and maybe creating something really new. Now, here's my question. Do you think it takes a French, from the yachting side, do you think it takes the French with their, first of all, their love of ocean racing and particularly around the world racing, but also the loyalty of their sponsors? Because, you know, the one thing we all know from outside of France is Sodebo have been with you for a million years. IDEC have been with Francis for a million years. Massif, you know, they have long-term relationships with their sportsmen. So that really helps, doesn't it, when you're trying to create these new models? But you have to bring them along on the journey.
Sure, but it's the key. Yeah? But all the sponsors, they make the a society all together. You know, Massif, Banque Populaire, Actual and IDEC, they are all in the same company and they want to build something together. So it's totally...
That's new, right?
New.
And they
realize that they have to. We are creating something new, which is going to be a fantastic opportunity. Mm-hmm. And I hope that one day we will have like some guys like Larry Ellison or mm-hmm. just help us to promote that kind of spirit, and he can do it. And this kind of owner, he know all about mm-hmm. creating new concept. He changed the world and he changed the way we think about America's Cup because he just arrived there and he makes something that 10 years ago was just unbelievable, unreal. And one day, why not in offshore sailing?
Yeah. So you're saying that you would welcome in a non-French campaign?
We need.
Okay.
We need somebody like an American or English mm-hmm. or Australian, Kiwis, and we definitely, this is the next point, if we stay
just French
is going to die.
Yeah, I think you're right.
It's going to die, and it's definitely our necessity.
I think this all team thing you've created is one of the most exciting things I've seen, and I'm desperate to get this out to the rest of the world. And because, you know, when I talk to non-French speaking people, I have to explain what the all teams are.
Yeah, and it's why, you know, I've been sailing offshore sailing by myself and solo for such a long time, and so it's more my point of view, and it's where I'm good on. But I'm promoting the crew sailing.
Yeah.
Because if we want to have one day American guy. Or yep. English, or we need crew.
Yeah. So listen, let's talk a little bit about the America's Cup, because one of the things I do remember from our last interview was that you told me that Peter Berling was your hero. So you must be delighted with him.
I'm so enthusiastic about the future.
Yeah.
And the new generation. New generation, my son, my daughter, and the new generation, which is coming, are fantastic.
What does your son sail?
Big, open big.
Right.
It's French one, but he's interesting about pretty much everything. Windsurfing, kitesurfing.
Right.
And just because they are curious that they're gonna win the next step.
And your daughter the same?
And my daughter is the same.
She's sailing?
Yeah, she's sailing on windsurfing and catamaran. And then she wants to try the kites and
fantastic.
Yeah, yeah. And this generation is the next generation of Peter Berling I was very, very happy for the Kiwi that they win, and for this kind of spirit of Peter Berling and all this crew, and especially for the team New Zealand, which just always have that kind of a very special identity.
Yeah,
you know, they really assume what they are, who they are, where they're coming from, and they don't really care about what the other guy's doing. If they need cycling, they're gonna cycle.
Yeah.
And whatever the other guy's doing, they cycle because it's better. And If they, and Peter Berling is just driving, he's not making, he's doing a tactic, but he doesn't really care about the way the boat is, and somebody else is taking care.
Yeah,
and it's totally different kind of a way of thinking and making the boat working.
Yeah.
And they, actually, all the other guys have been look at each other, and they've been making copies, actually. And those guys, since the beginning, and since the Kiwis are sailing, they just explore new things, and they got a very interesting identity. And it's pretty much like the French.
Yeah.
We've got a very strong identity in offshore sailing, mm-hmm. and it's why it's working.
What did you think of the French at the America's Cup?
For sure, Franck Hermès was the only way, was the only one, mm-hmm. and it's still be and will be the only way to keep going. This guy is the key.
Mm-hmm.
Maybe not at the steering.
Mm-hmm.
I don't know. We should talk about it with him. But for sure, as a driver of a team, he's the best.
So I don't want to miss the opportunity to ask you, which way should the America's Cup go now? If you were in charge, if you were whispering in Grant Dalton's ear, what would the boat look like for the next event?
I hope you...
100-foot foiling trimaran, no?
I will hope he will stay in multi-hulls, whatever catamaran or trimaran. I will hope that they stop the way that some guys are only grinders, and there is only two which are making the boat running as a sailors. Being able or being your load to keep some energy make something wrong for me. You need to let that it's still a sport and not something mechanical like if you're not allowed to keep some energy in somewhere, it will give once again the way that it's you will have crew members with trimmers and grinders and but with multi-hulls for sure.
Okay.
I'm sure the Kiwis are very clever about those points, mm-hmm. and they will help to make the good mix. Once again, Oracle have done a fantastic job to push in the future, but maybe a bit too far away.
Mm-hmm.
But this is normal because. The guy who invents mm-hmm. the future mm-hmm. needs to go too far away.
Yeah.
And the guy would just make it running, just come back and adjust it.
Yeah.
And it's all, I hope that the Kiwi is going to adjust what Mr. Larry has been doing.
Interesting.
And you need to go too far away to be sure that it's going in the right direction.
I want to ask you about something that inspired me and a lot of other people, which was your amazing round the world record. It's a while now since you came ashore. You looked absolutely exhausted. You seemed to be running on adrenaline when you were standing on the stage with your arms in the air. Is that right?
Yeah, it's quite an extreme effort. 29 days, 3 hours, and the most difficult point in this kind of effort, it's a concentration that you need for 49 days on multi-hulls like this sort of boat. I was exhausted by the concentration and the stress that you always imagine the worst. And you never relax, you never, I will say, you enjoy, but not much.
No.
But it's all about it when you're a professional in any kind of sport. Don't ask to somebody just gonna beat the record of a marathon or if he enjoy it. It just have, he's got pain.
He's got to suffer.
And you suffer. Yeah, it's all about, you know, amateurs, they go to the point where they like.
Yeah.
And when they realize that it hurts more than they like, they stop.
Yeah.
And it's at this point that the professionals are starting.
Right. Right.
At this point, you start to be a professional.
Yeah.
And you arrive to a step where sometime when you succeed, you achieve something unreal and you feel that you've done something that nobody else before have done. And this is the best achievement you can you can have in your life. But it's not only sport. It's all about somebody who's a painter or a designer or musician. It's all about being able to do something which is real you at this stage of your life.
Yeah.
And it's you, like nothing can describe you more than that.
Right. Do you think this right now, this defines Thomas Cavill?
Yeah. At this point of my life, it was probably who I am.
Right.
And it's why I think when I arrive, inspire a lot of other people.
Yeah.
Because they realize that point. And especially because I tried fifth time.
Yeah.
It's not because you succeeded the first time.
Yeah.
And that's it. You win a race. And it's, we were talking about the Kiwi and the winning of the Kiwi today won't be the same after the last 9-8 last time. It's because they lost that today the winning is just
makes
fantastic.
All and the makes more sweet, yeah.
Yeah, and inspire all everybody.
Yeah.
And for me, it's the greatest point. And people who just, who were in Brest or even the other groups, they just tell me that they think about their own life and they said, I lose many times, I give up many times, and maybe I should not, and I should keep going, and even if it's a dream, and I've got two kids, and what I can let, anything else.
Yeah. that's a great thing to have their father do. It's a hard act to follow, though, as well.
No, it's why I don't want to make the same. It think that it's what I said when I arrived to my son. My daughter actually was in America. She spent a year in the Visconti, and I told him, Elliot, there is no dream that you can't achieve. Whatever it takes, in time or in efforts, or if you've got a dream, if you've got something really in your heart, just align what you are today as a little kid, what you were as a adult, and what you want to be as a father or as an old man. You know that this alignment in between these three points.
Yeah.
Do it.
Yeah.
And don't let anybody telling you that it's impossible. And each time somebody telling you that it's impossible, do it stronger.
That must have been a pretty emotional moment for you.
Yeah. And it really, really, it just got that.
You could see he got it.
Yeah, he got it. And he got it very strongly. And it was a fantastic conversation.
Right.
Between a dad and a son and my dad, and I had pretty much the same conversation with my dad, who was totally opposite of that kind of life. And he didn't trust it, actually.
Right.
Yeah. And then we had a very clever conversation together, and I said, okay, I've done it against your voice, but I have to do it.
Yeah. He was proud of you, though, right?
Yeah, and today he just said, yeah, and I didn't trust in it, but you're right.
So you talked earlier about always having to keep moving forward. So now you're the fastest man on the planet around the world. How do you follow that up? Well, it seems like you build a bigger, faster boat. So tell us about that.
You see the three boats there?
So this is Sodebo, IDEX Sport and Massif, all sitting here in the marina.
You won't recognize the next one.
Oh, wow.
Yeah. Once again, the Kiwi inspire me a lot.
Mm-hmm.
And I make two vision in speed. The one I call the passive speed, which is the speed where there is no human action. So aerodynamic, weight,
mm-hmm.
the central of the weight, and like car driving.
Mm-hmm.
And I'm all about car driving and flying. The whole obsession is the weight, where the central of the weight
balance.
Is and the balance and everything. This is the passive speed. And the active speed, it's where human has got an action.
Mm-hmm.
So you've got just two arborescence,
mm-hmm.
you know? And then I wanted to reduce the active speed in the global speed, to be able to let the human being more concentrated on very special active speed, which are going to be the control of the force, the trimming of the sails, and the acceptation of the speed, and the flying or the foiling. And so we push very hard on the passive speed with aerodynamic, where we haven't been pushing on those kind of boats.
Okay.
And the central of the boat, of the weight, and so the drawing is going to be totally, totally different. And I'm not going to tell you more.
Okay.
But if you want to see, if you want to come in France one day for, we're going to launch the boat in 1 year. But if you want, we're going to start building the boat. So if you've got some time,
well, you know I'm going to take you up on that one. You know I'm definitely going to take you up on that one. But tell me, don't tell me any more about the boat. I'm thrilled by what you've told me so far. But tell me what you might want to do with this boat.
We will launch the boat after the Rudrum. So we'll do the Rudrum with this boat. I would say, unfortunately, but we haven't the choice with the timing we need to build the boat. But we will launch the boat just after the Rudrum and be ready for that amazing another race around the world by ourselves, with seven boats, like 18 boats around the planet.
Do we, do we have a name for that race yet?
No, you're welcome anytime.
we'll be the main sponsor.
I invented the concept already, so I'm not the marketing guy.
Okay. Right.
We will probably waste some money to pay somebody who would just be able to
come up with something we already
exactly as a name.
So now how many this is all moved on, hasn't it, since we talked a year ago, because we now know that Banque Populaire, their boat is being built for Armel Lecliche. We know that Sebastian Joss is about to launch in a few weeks his new boat, which again sounds like an incredible. I mean, do you guys talk to each other? Do you go around to see the boat, or how does it all work?
We're not allowed to go in the yard to see what's going on each one, but it's quite a protection. But we are sharing some part with the Banque Populaire.
Yeah.
So and it's very clever for the money and for the timing as well. Sebastian Joss have been, I think, he's doing with a very special one, very flying one, a very foiling one. So we will see. Foiling.
I thought he said his boat was going to be fast when it's foiling and fast when it's not foiling. Or did I misinterpret that?
Not foiling in this transat, in very light wind. I'm not sure because it's very huge. It's a lot of water and
so
water
sticky,
resistant.
Sticky
boat. Yeah, very sticky boat. So I'm not sure that.
Okay.
And probably quite a heavy boat because you've got a lot of volume, so it's more surfaces, so it's more weight.
More drag,
It's more drag.
Yeah,
probably, when you've got some wind, you're probably going to be very fast. You will need, but those kind of boats are going anywhere very fast when you've got wind, and you have to improve the boats from 0 to 18 knots of wind. And we've seen that once again on this transat. If you're able to be lighter and go faster, like Massif is about 2 tons lighter than Soda Boat. No question, light wind, but once again in 2019, we'll be at least seven boats.
At least seven, okay.
Yeah, so I told you a year ago, and you were thinking of this guy is just crazy, but it's going to happen.
It's coming,
I see it's coming.
I believed you from the beginning, I never doubted you.
You're a bad liar.
So have you got any sniffs of any other teams, any other sponsors coming on board? This must be getting Camassi interested, isn't it?
No, Camassi won't come back.
No?
No. Camassi is focused on the cup, and he won't stop before he can't go back.
Okay.
Frank is going to go back to the cup. He's probably, maybe he's going to try again on Olympics, but because it's focused on the cup, you won't come back in offshore settings, I'm sure.
Okay.
But some guys like Charles Caudrelier, or which is on the Volvo Ocean race at the moment, or... But no, what we said just before, we need guy from overseas, and there is already seven French boats. We need two Americans, two Kiwi, an Australian, Japanese, English. And it, you know, even from America, we are in New York today. It's when I see that the all these huge yachts and all those guys who build those kind of yachts, they like big boats, they like going fast, they like that people look at them, and they like the big cars or fast cars. Mm-hmm. It's all about it. Let's go.
So maybe somebody like Lloyd Thornburg, who has Fido, who is the most active owner we've ever seen, right?
Yeah, and he's sailing so well, and he's pushing I've seen him pushing the boats like crazy. And they're just really, really in that kind of move.
Yeah.
And they can do it. And we need one.
Yeah.
And if one of these guys' owners are coming, and it's why I'd like to have, we probably announce that in the future, but to have offshore sailing and offshore around the world or racing like today. It's why we start with crew, to show the people and to show overseas that it's not only like those crazy solo French sailors. Mm. It's all about crew as well.
Yeah.
So it's
I think that's important.
It's open to all guys who just like sailing crew, and I love sailing crew. Mm. I've been sailing I started with the Amorous Cup with Coram, and I went to America's Cup with Ville de Paris, and I went offshore sailing with Volvo Ocean Race, or all of this kind of, and I crew member is. It's crew sailing is the, I would say, the best.
Well, we should invite Lloyd.
Yeah.
To come and sail, I think, on your boat at some point. Maybe
any time.
If he gets to listen to this podcast, he can give you a call, take you up on it. I want to finish this off with the last time we spoke. You unprovoked gave me your opinion on where the Volvo Ocean Race should go, and now we know where the Volvo Ocean Race is going. It's going to be in a fast monohull. The only multi-hull bit is going to be a
fast monohull, as fast as can a monohull can be fast.
As fast as a monohull can be fast. That was a little passive-aggressive, I think, to be honest with you. So tell me, what do you think of this this whole idea? The only trimaran bit is going to be the import racing.
I won't make any comment about the decision of Mark Turner and the Volvo, and which is a huge event in sailing, and I've been so proud to sail on a Volvo, and I'm very close to Mark, and we've been talking about it. Emex, I'm sure, is a good decision. They know the old problematic and the old the timing of building and the cost and whatever, for sure. I can't have my opinion can't be the right one with all the details of the old equation.
Yeah. Yeah.
So I respect totally, and I'm sure that what they did as an answer is a good one. For me, Volvo today probably should be once again what it was for me. As a fantastic sailing school or experience of life, mm-hmm. of a way of life, of a kind of a style of life for the young generation. And those kind of guys, the young guys, and it's why the way they've been pushing the young people and the rules under 25 and the female now. It's a very good rule, because I know that all those guys after Volvo or two, they will come and sail on multi-hulls with us. So I'm more about making something which is going to work together,
mm-hmm.
than telling that they should have done this or they should have been in multi-hulls. I'm sure that what we are doing today, it's probably something which is going to be very composite, mm-hmm. with the Volvo. So I'm pretty positive and enthusiastic for the future for that point. And one day it will happen anyway, that there will happen a race around the world with multi-hulls by crew, without any stopover or with I don't know. But it will happen.
Let's finish off and tell me what happens now. What's happening for this boat? We're in Brooklyn right now. You need to get the boat back across the Atlantic, or you have something else planned?
Actually, the plan is that I'll go back to France and try to beat the solo record the North Atlantic.
Okay. Which is held by Francis.
Yeah. In 5 days and 6 hours, something like this. And I'd like to go under 5 days, which is the plan. And with Sotobo, actually, we went under 6 days, the first. And we had that record under 6 days. We had the last year, the first, we passed the barrier to more than 700. And we've been pioneers on that one too. And so this year, I'd like to make that one.
And who holds the 24-hour record right now?
I think Massif got it now.
Okay. Because I know I spoke to Francis yesterday, and that's what he's going to try and break on the way back across the Atlantic.
Yeah, I think he's more focused on the 24 hours than the Atlantic. And you know that with this kind of boat, you can go 800. Yeah. You know that movie, The Right Stuff?
Yeah.
Oh, I loved it.
It's a great movie.
I love that movie, and it's definitely the kind of same kind of ideas. You know, the first guy who passed the Mach 1 and the Mach 2, and they're all in a pub, and they hear about the sound, boom!
Yeah.
Okay, I beat you, mate.
it's like everybody gives the next person permission to break it, right?
But it's all about it, and we know each other, and this guy called Jaeger, I love that character in the movie, Jaeger, and I feel that we are really close to that kind of philosophy and challenge, tonight we'll probably have a beer all together, and he's gonna try to beat and pass the barrier to 800 like we did last year to 700.
It's a little bit like the old tennis, isn't it? Kind of the rivalry between Borg and McEnroe and Connors, and
I don't know, it's kind of nice.
I like the idea that you guys are all just, you break a record and then they go out and try and break that, and you know, you just bat it backwards and forwards between yourselves.
We are very lucky, actually. Our generation is just at the time, at the right time, at the right position to open the door and open the window, and just like, wow, there's all about to do. And I'm very enthusiastic about it.
Well, let's round it off at that. Thomas Cavill, thank you so much for talking to us, and the best of luck with everything, and we'll be following
along
closely.
Thank you very much.